My name is Jeppe Kjærsgaard. My co-authors were Rick Allen and Ricardo Tracer. We are from the University of Idaho, Kimberly Research and Extension Center in Southern Idaho. My talk is on the development of a method to estimate the canopy temperature of tall vegetation based from satellite imagery. And tall vegetation in this context is like orchards, vineyards, and forests and the like, as opposed to, say, other types of shorter vegetation that is common in agricultural fields. Brief outline of the presentation. After a short introduction, I will briefly cover our method we use to create evapotranspiration, or ET, maps, and then cover how our preliminary estimation of fraction cover and our estimation of the sunlit and shaded surface temperature or soil temperature is conducted. Now we use primarily Landsat 5 and Landsat 7 imagery for our estimates, and we cannot see ET directly from the satellite. So we calculate ET as the residual from the energy balance, which is the net radiation minus the soil heat flux and the sensible heat flux. Excuse me. We estimate the net radiation based on already established algorithms for Sun-Earth geometry, and then the spectral reflectance in the shortwave bands from the surface and the thermal radiance from the surface. And then we include humidity as well, although it only has a minor effect. The soil heat flux we calculate based on the vegetation amount through vegetation indices, the net radiation, and the thermal radiance at the surface. And finally, the sensible heat flux we calculate based on the thermal radiance, wind speed, surface cover type from the land use map, and the surface roughness, and the surface to air temperature difference, or the DT. Now, this DT is a component of the one-dimensional sensible heat flux equation, and traditionally, it has been calculated as the difference between the surface temperature and the air temperature. But the surface temperature may be hard to obtain. So for the seaball or metric approaches, it's based on a near surface to air temperature difference. And it is established as a linear relationship between the DT at two known points. Commonly referred to as the cold pixel and the hot pixel. And then it is assumed that there is a linear relationship between the two. That also means that in metric, we do not necessarily need an accurate measure of the surface temperature. We only use it as an index. So as long as there is, if there's a bias in the data, as long as that bias is uniform across the image, we are in good shape. The maps from metric are traditionally used for for agricultural areas up till now. It has been used, for instance, for water rights management or for in water transfer cases or even in farm water management. Such an example is shown on this image. It is from Spain, we can clearly see the irrigation in some of the center pivots, whereas others have either been harvested or are not being irrigated this year. Now we start to see more of an interest from people that are interested in surfaces or maps of evapotranspiration for areas that are not necessarily agricultural. For instance, from in mountain hydrology or basin-wide water balance studies. Generally, the temperature that's seen, the radiometric temperature we get from the satellite, it is adequately described using a one-source model for agricultural crops, because they have normally have a relatively uniform cover and they're relatively short, so they are described as a one-source model, such as metric is currently. But as soon as we start getting into what we call a little bit more complex vegetation types, such as orchards, or forests, the vegetation cover is much less uniform when you look at it from the nadir looking satellite, as shown here, that we actually have the portion of what the satellite sees is the vegetation, but it also sees a fraction of the bare soil, and some of that is covered by has shadows on it, and others is sunlit. And we're trying to. So what we want to do when we move into areas of orchards or forests is to partition the surface temperature into the contribution from the vegetation and from the shaded areas and from the sunlit areas. And we're going to do it by estimate the fraction of canopy cover and the temperature associated with the canopy, that's FC and TC, and then the fraction that is covered of the ground that has shadow on it, and its temperature, and the fraction that is sunlit and its temperature. And I've shown another equation up here. It's one suggested by Norman et al. We've seen this reference earlier today, and that's just to show that this is kind of following the same principles as the ones that that he suggested. The TS here, that is the one we see from the satellite. When we estimate the fraction cover, or the fraction cover of the canopy, we use this equation again, that is from the Norman publication, which is based on a clumping factor and the LAI, and various values for the clumping factor is given in this table, depending on what tree species it is we're talking about. For the shaded area, we can similarly estimate using this clumping factor theory, but only now that we have to account for the sun's zenith angle, which is represented here by theta, we normalize project the shadow from the vegetation onto the ground by dividing by the cosine of the sun's zenith angle. But there's part of the shadow of the vegetation that is not that is not part of the shadow that is covered by the tree, so it's not visible for the satellite. So we have to account for that, and we do that by estimating the amount of the shaded area that is non-visible to the satellite based on the geometry of the canopy, the width of the canopy, solar zenith angle, and the distance from the ground up to the portion of the tree that where the leaves start. And then the fraction of sunlit cover we estimate as the residual. And for the fraction cover as a function of LAI for three different sun zenith angles are shown here. And if we look at the top center image, the blue is the fraction vegetation cover, and the green is the fraction of the sunlit area, and the red is the fraction of the shaded area. And it is clear as the vegetation, fraction of vegetation increases, the shaded area increases at a lesser rate until the shadow from one tree is reaching under a neighboring tree, and the curve sort of breaks and start to decrease. So, based on that, we have the fractions of canopy cover, the shaded area, and the sunlit area. So we have that leaves us with two, say, unknowns in our equation, which is the temperature of the shaded soil and temperature of the sunlit soil. And so we have went to the field and measured the ground temperature using, we have used some Apogee's IRTs hooked up to a data log on a battery. And we did these temperature measurements in pecan fields in New Mexico. And we measured both the temperature of the sunlit soil at satellite overpass time, the shaded soil, and the canopy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I just have one slide more. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry?
Yeah, sure.
So we have come up with, for now, some empirical equations for estimating the temperature of the shaded soil and the sunlit soil based and the shaded soil based on the cold pixel temperature and the temperature of the wet bulb temperature. And for the sunlit soil, it is the temperature of the hot pixel and the cold pixel. Now these are preliminary equations based on the measurements that the field measurements we conducted. So the results, these are from pecan orchards in New Mexico. The leftmost image is a true color image of the pecan orchards in which we did the measurements. The measurements for the model development were in different orchards that are not included in this picture. Now, the center image, that shows the temperature, the land surface temperature that is derived from the satellite subtracted from the canopy temperature that we measured. And we see that the temperature we get from the satellite generally runs 3 to 4 degrees cooler than the canopy temperature, primarily due to the shadow, the shaded soil surfaces. Whereas the image farthest to the right is after our three-source model adjustment of the surface temperature. And we were able to bring the temperature down for the majority of the fields, but there are some of them that kind of ran away for us a little bit. So we need to look more into, taming it down. But we feel we are on the right way up to now. I think I will break there and... I guess the coffee is just around the corner.
Yes, it's a pleasure to spend the time. Thank you for making the effort.